Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Take your Bibles, would you? Open them to the 15th chapter of John's Gospel. As we continue our journey learning about Jesus and learning from Jesus, I would remind you, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, Jesus said, and get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Amen. Now, just in case you were looking for that in the 15th chapter of John, that is found in the Message in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. I cannot overemphasize the richness of Jesus' words in these passages that we're studying. If you want to get next to the heart of the Lord Jesus and know what is on His heart with those who belong to Him, get into the 14th through the 16th chapter of John and just live there for a while. Begin to understand the heart of our Lord Jesus. Beginning at reading verse number 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, or no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Holy Spirit, we need your help to guide us this morning into truth, but also to sever the ties that we have with what we know in this world. We pray that you would take us to a place in relationship with Jesus where we have never been before. Clear the way. Because, Lord, we're all of us in our minds, we're dealing with many different thoughts and many different things, and what's going to happen this afternoon and what's going to happen this week. And these things come crowding in on us and they want to squeeze out the truth of your word. But I pray that you would bring it home to us and plant it deep. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The context of this passage is really a study, if you will, on biblical relationships. In verse number 1 of chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. So the challenge comes of remaining in Jesus. And then in John chapter 15, verse 9 that I just read, he gives a secondary challenge. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And so that portion of me, he says, I want you to walk in that portion of who I am. And then you go on down in verses 18 to 25, and he will bring out, and we'll get to that another week. But he says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. So he brings a distinction between those who are in him and walking in him and in his love and those who are in the world. There should be a distinction. Now, I'm not going to do to you what our guest did last week, but I do hope that you will participate a little bit. I was actually going to bring a peach and just set it here. Just to see if you could affect the fuzz. We had a good time last week, and I promise I'm not going to try to get that going with you, but there's some good stuff here, not because of Bill McKee, but because of the Word of God. So jump in. In verse 26 and 27, then, he says, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. So you have in me, in my love, if you separate yourself from the world, I will. It's all about this connection and this relationship that we have with the Lord. Hey, I would encourage you here, a little bit of a commercial. Maybe you're not in the habit of breaking up your week by coming into the house of the Lord, but our Wednesday sessions this fall particularly are beneficial. I can make an absolute commitment to you that if you will come on these Wednesday nights throughout this fall, you will grow in the Lord. Pastor Steve and I are teaching discipleship truths. And every single one of these, if you nest it in your heart, you say, well, Pastor, I've been at this for a long time. So have I. But the Lord just keeps on giving and showing and revealing and growing. Give Him a chance. And I know that you will be blessed. This morning, I want us to talk. And wow, this is tough. It's tough because of the world we live in, not because of us. But this is so difficult against the flow of this world. Our passage this morning centers around loyalty. How many know what loyalty is? Well, I hope to take what you know and expand upon it a little bit. Webster says that loyalty is unswerving allegiance. Would you kind of underscore that in your mind? Unswerving allegiance. Not just allegiance, but unswerving allegiance. Webster also says loyalty is faithful to a person to whom fidelity is due. How many this morning will agree with me that Jesus is worthy of our fidelity? That we would center in to Him unswervingly. It's difficult in the world that we live. One of the things that is part of the wrestling of the work that I do is to watch individuals that as a congregation you pour into and maybe spend a lot of time trying to help, trying to teach, trying to minister to the individual needs that they have. And then the least little thing comes along. Things that many times are so totally insignificant. It comes along and they're off to another church. They're off. Where's loyalty? You see, the thing about loyalty is that it does not cut and run when times get tough. The thing about loyalty and this whole unswerving is the fact that, you could put it in another term, able to be counted upon. I know. Quiet in here now, isn't it? Because see, again, in the day that we're living, many folks have 2-3 churches that they are part of. And depending on what's going on in which place, then they will go in that direction. It's very difficult to find that level of loyalty that says we are able to be counted upon. Amen? So, you see, my concern is that when we talk about unswerving loyalty to Jesus, that we would put it into the same category that we put it, that we put church attendance and other things. And I can tell you at the beginning and I'll tell you at the end, his expectations exceed what many of us are doing in our flesh. He wants 100%. So, you know, we come down to the end of this and we're going to talk about what he wants to bless us with. And many times we will reach and grab a scripture like that and memorize it and say, oh, bless God, I know he wants to answer all my prayers. He wants to bless me and he wants, you know, and we take that. But don't miss what leads up to that. It is the loyalty. And we begin this morning with the condition of loyalty, but before we do, some time back I shared with you from Becky Zerbe in an article entitled Pinning a Marriage. I shared this with you, but I really felt pulled back to it again today because it shows a degree in the flesh of loyalty, if you will, through difficult things. Roger Zerbe, who suffered from early onset Alzheimer's disease, journaled this to his wife after a particularly troubling bout of forgetfulness. Honey, today fear is taking over. The day is coming when all my memories of this life that we share will be gone. You and the boys will be gone from me. I will lose you even as I am surrounded by you and your love. I don't want to leave you. I want to grow old in the warmth of memories. Forgive me for leaving so slowly and painfully. Blinking back tears, Becky wrote, my sweet husband, I will continue to go on loving you and caring for you. Not because you know me or remember our life, but because I remember you. I will remember the man who proposed to me and told me he loved me. The look on his face when his children were born, the father he was, the love for our extended family. I'll recall his love for writing, hiking, and reading, his tears at sentimental movies, the unexpected witty remarks, and how he held my hand while he prayed. I cherish the pleasure, obligation, commitment, and opportunity to care for you because I remember you. You see, I feel like that this applies because we need to remember Jesus. You know, we spread out the communion table and we all take the elements, and part of that recollection that we go through, do this in remembrance of me. We need to remember Jesus on Monday. and remember Jesus on Tuesday. And in the middle of the night on Wednesday morning, and on Thursday and on Friday, and when the doctor gives us a bad report, and when the finances are in difficulty, we need to remember Jesus paid it all. He says to us here in this passage, if you will, I will. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Notice, there's a plural here. So he's not simply talking about loving one another, but all of his commands. A little bit of digging will show you that he's talking about the full counsel of all that he has given. It's a charge. It's an opportunity. When we neglect this, we neglect our loyalty to him. When we prioritize our lives to do other things, then we forget that he has given to us the words of life and strength and power. We are neglecting our loyalty to him. Because that's what he says. He says, if you obey my commands, you will be loyal to me. That's what loyalty is about. Knowing and obeying the commands of the Lord. And can I tell you this morning, they're not grievous. They're not too weighty. He's not come to put a weight down on top of us and smash us into the ground with all that he is desiring. But rather, he is wanting to lift us up and to bolster us and to help us. Again, come unto me, labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's not the words of one who wants to put a heavy load down upon us. But there is a load. There are responsibilities that go with this life. And the model here of this relationship that he's calling us to, this level of loyalty, the model, he says, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and am loyal to him, remain in him. Jesus walked in the power. Jesus had the ministry that he had. He did the work that he did because of his loyal relationship with the Father. Whatever the Father spoke to him, Jesus shared. We're going to get to John chapter 17 in a few weeks. And he says, everything that you gave to me to give to them, I gave. Every word of witness, every word of truth, every single thing that the Father told the Son to speak, he spoke. And that solidified their relationship to the point that Jesus could say to his disciples, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus is anticipating that a level of loyalty would be in us to him and to his word, that when the world sees us, they have seen him. Can I get a peach of an amen? Now, listen to this. His condition is, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. So it's a high standard. But he tells us why. The reason for his call to walk in this type of loyal relationship with him. He says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. And that your joy may be full. Anybody in this house want joy? Now see, very quickly, I need to identify the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness says everything's great. Now see, today, I feel really young. Now, some of you may say to yourself, well, why does Pastor feel young today? It could be because my brother in the Lord got older yesterday than me. Friday? Whew, he's even older than I thought. And see, that's happiness. Because his being older than me and me feeling young today, I mean, that's happiness. But in just a very few days, I will have another birthday. And then for the other 11 months of this year, we will have to tell people we're the same age. And happiness won't be as powerful as it is today. You follow me? But joy has nothing to do with age or health or how you feel in a moment. It has to do with what has been settled inside of you. Now, you see, the world is seeking happiness and they run to and fro. That's biblical sounding, isn't it? They run all over the place looking for that happiness, that good feeling, that let me put it all together feeling. But again, it doesn't last because you have to wake up and face the next day. But the joy of the Lord can be your strength. The joy of the Lord can get you out of bed when you don't feel like getting out of bed. The joy of the Lord can put a smile on your face when it doesn't feel like a day for smiling. Come on. See, don't make me have to get a peach. Jesus has invited us into this relationship with Him for our benefit. I'm going to do it. Say, our benefit. Now personalize it just one more time. My benefit. Jesus wants you to walk in joy. And he doesn't want you to just have His joy. He wants you to have joy to the full. That word means to completion. That in other words, you will have all the joy that you need. That's His objective in our relationship with Him. As we walk and obey His commands, you will walk in loyalty to Him, unswerving, if you will, for the sake of your joy. Hallelujah. Let me give you the command to the loyal. Now, this only fits to those that will enter into this relationship. You know, we can't reach out and grab a hold of something that we're not willing to commit to. I know I just said the C word. My command is this, that you love each other as I have loved you. He doesn't just say to us, love each other, because then we would be making it up as to how that would look. But He says, love each other the way I have loved you. Oh my goodness. And then He starts getting down to it. The word love that He uses there is agape for all of you Greek scholars. It means to esteem, to love. It indicates a direction of will rather than an emotion or a feeling. When you direct the will of your life into the relationship of Jesus, things begin to change in you. Now see, I firmly believe that Jesus is coming soon. I truly do. And I believe that He is calling out a people. Now, you know, back almost a half a century ago, when I was dating Sharon, You know, one of the things that I was looking for with her was a singular commitment to me. You know, if I called her on the phone and said, "Would you want to go do something?" And she'd say to me, "Well, no, I'm going out with someone else this week," then I would not have the same connection, if you will, the same hope for our relationship as I would if she picked up the phone and said, "Oh, I've been waiting for you to call." It didn't happen too many times. we're pretending. "I've been waiting for you to call. Sure, I'll go with you. Can't wait." Right? You see, it was that kind of relationship that led up to my saying to her, "Will you marry me?" Because I wanted someone who had fallen in love with me and wanted to be with me and was willing to overlook who I am. That's the relationship we have with Jesus. The only thing is that instead of us overlooking who He is, that we are counting on the fact that He will overlook who we are. And the fact that He would care to love me. You see it? Can you feel it? You can start there with, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love." And you go, I got to obey his command. Or you could say, this is a love relationship. I'm ready. I'm willing. I may not be capable. Hello? I said, I may not be capable of giving to him the kind of love that he gives to me. I may not be able in my flesh to totally break myself free from this world. And so I'm counting on his grace. And I'm counting on his love that he will overlook the rough edges and the difficult parts and the things that I'm working desperately to rid out of my life. But oh, when he asked me, "Keep my commands, follow my word, do what I've asked." Oh, what a privilege. Because it means so much to me to be in relationship with Jesus. And then he says, "Love each other." Now for just a moment here, think with me of the moment that they were in. With all evidence, they were someplace because John told us they had left the upper room. We know by the other Gospels that they were on their way to Gethsemane. So sometime between leaving the upper room and Jesus separating himself from the disciples to go off and to pray, "Not thy will but mine, not my will but thine be done." Somewhere between there is when he shared these things with them. In other words, he knew that he was getting ready to leave them. He also knew that he had chosen a motley crew. Now, tax collector, fisherman, who knows what? Quickly, what was Bartholomew's profession? Something. He took them from all over. And he brought them all together. And now he's saying to them, "Love each other as I have loved you." You can see through other exchanges that they had a little difficulty here and there getting along. A James and a John sent mommy to ask for position. And my Bible says that the other disciples were a little shaky about that. They were mad. And Jesus says, "Okay, now, enough of all the foolishness. Enough of all of the other stuff. My command to you is love each other." And guess what? He was not just talking to the 11. He was talking to me, and he was talking to you. See, there is no place within the body of Christ for I hate that person. I'm going to sit over here because they're sitting there. I just don't like it when they talk. Keep in mind, the Lord can hear you. The same one who said, my command is this, love one another. Not according to your patterns or your desires or how you feel or any of that, but love one another as I have loved you. How many of you are aware this morning that the Lord Jesus has to do some work in order to love you? Yeah. Absolutely. Now, there may be a few in here that are going, what a privilege he has. He qualifies this just in case they don't really understand what he's saying when he says, love each other as I have loved you. He takes it a next step and he goes, greater love has no man than this. Then he laid down his life for his friends. Now, walking that journey to Gethsemane, they may not fully understand that, but before the night or before the next 2 days are over, they will understand what he was talking about. Oh, he's talking about dying. He's talking about a kind of love, emulating, living a kind of love for one another, that we would be willing to die for them. He's not wanting us to just tolerate each other. He's wanting us to be willing to lay down our lives for one another. Now, help me. Is that not loyalty? Well, Pastor, I don't know. There's a few in here. I don't know that I would. Then we're not living his love. We're not loving as he loved. He says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Intimacy. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Friend equals one who knows him intimately and obeys him willingly. See, it's one thing for us to stand up here and to follow along with the musicians. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. That, you know, it sings well. But a friend of Jesus is one who follows him willingly and who loves him intimately and who proves it by loving those around them. Jim and Philip did everything together when they were kids. They even went to high school and college together, and after college they joined the Marines together. They were both sent to Germany where they fought side by side in World War II. During a fierce battle, they were given the command to retreat, and as the men were running back, Jim noticed that Philip hadn't returned with the others. Jim begged his commanding officer to let him go after his friend, but the officer forbade the request, saying it would be suicide. Jim disobeyed and went after Philip. His heart pounding, he ran into the gunfire, calling out for Philip. And a short time later, his platoon saw him hobbling across the field, carrying a limp body in his arms. The commanding officer shouted at Jim for his outrageous risk. "Your friend is dead," he said. "There was nothing you could do." "No, sir," Jim replied. "I got there just in time. Before Philip died," he said, "I knew you would come." You see, folks, we've got to find you know, it's not enough for us to just learn about Jesus. We've got to become like Him. We've got to look at our lives and say, wait a minute, those attitudes that I have and my actions, they're not living up to the standard of the one that I'm following. I'm not being as Jesus in this situation to someone else. It's not about what they have done, or praise God, it's not what I have done that brought His love to me. But it's who He is. Because of who He is, it's who I am. And I'm walking in relationship with Him, and I don't want not even a breath between who He is and who I am. And I cannot pronounce that with my voice and not live that with my life. This thing of having other people to have to live up to a certain pattern, a certain standard before we will love them. In other words, they got to rise to be worthy of my love. Come on, church. That may be the standard that the world has, but it's not our standard. Because you and I are loved by one who loves us, not because we're worthy, but because He is worthy. Not because we're deserving, but because He is deserving. And if we're going to walk in Him, if we're going to live with Him, if we're going to go into heaven with Him, then somewhere along the line, we have got to learn to sink in with Him and let go. Let go of the stuff that this world is throwing in our path. And begin to say, because I am loved, I will love. And Lord Jesus, you can count on me. And brothers and sisters, you can count on me. Not by our worthiness, but by His sacrifice and example. You say, well, Pastor, I may have to pray through on this one. Do whatever's necessary. Listen to His charge to the loyal as we finish this morning. You did not choose me, Jesus said. But I chose you and appointed you. Now, I think it's quite interesting because, see, we take this book and we go, oh, well, He's talking to the 11. In the next verse, we go, no, He's talking to me. No, He's talking to the early church. No, He's talking to me. No, He's talking to the disciples, I can tell. Oh, He wants to give, yeah, He was talking to me. Oh, bear much fruit. No, that's His disciples. Total commitment and love. Well, He's talking to them. The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. That's mine. Come on, folks. If it's ours, it's ours. If it's not, it's not. But don't play games with it. If you want verse 16, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Then you have to say, I didn't choose Him. He chose me and appointed me. He appointed me to what? Sit and soak? No, He appointed me to go and bear fruit. Yes. Bear fruit. Make money. Have fun. Soar in this world. And then He goes and messes that up. Fruit that will last. In other words, He says, if you're in me and I am in you, and you're following my example in loving others as I have loved you, then I want you to realize you didn't choose me. You didn't start this whole thing. I did. And I chose you for a purpose. And I have appointed you for purpose. And that purpose is that you would be producing eternal fruit. I want you to do something for me. We got to have a little bit of interaction here, just so you know you're in the same church as you were last week. I'd like for you to turn to the person next to you, and I would like for you to tell them one type of fruit that will go with you from this life into heaven. Go ahead. Something that you can produce that you will take with you to heaven. Some of you aren't moving at all. I know I just don't have the charisma or power or something. Maybe when I get to be Larry's age, you'll respect me enough to do that. I can only pray. What did he choose us for? To go and bear fruit that will last. Can you agree with me this morning that we're spending a whole lot of time and energy focusing, laboring, getting exhausted over things that when we die we're going to leave behind? If you haven't come to this understanding yet, let me help you to get there this morning. You and I are members of a different kingdom. Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump will not decide my fate. They will not decide my joy. They will not shape my eternity. What I'm doing here in this place today will have more import to my life than all that they do between now and election and after. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Quote unquote, Jesus. You see, he's interested in us for our joy, for our rest, for our peace. We get ourselves all torn apart by stuff that in the long run will not matter one bit. Many times, and I've witnessed this my entire life, as dear saints, when the trouble rolls in and the clouds roll in, they're coming. You know, we've got sunshine right now, but they're telling us, those that can see from above, they're telling us that later today the dark clouds are going to roll in and it's going to thunder and it's going to lightning. And the winds are going to blow and the rain's going to pour. Now you can say, well, I'm going to go hunker down in the house because the storm is coming. Or you can say, make hay while the sun's shining. There's some stuff that I can do while the sun's still out. Yeah, the storm's on the way, sure. They're telling me that it's coming. But there's stuff to do. It's still day. And while it's day, there's still work to be done. Hear me this morning. We're in difficult times, really rough times. Things, well, I heard somebody say hell in a handbasket. Really rough times. But it has absolutely nothing to do with why you were appointed. It has nothing to do with the kind of love that you and I walk in. We are a people who have been enveloped. Just picture it. Just picture the Lord's arms just coming in around you and loving you. You see, that's what we have. He chose us. He came up from behind you, Lloyd. He came up from behind you and just wrapped his arms around you. And he said, I want you to be mine. And in spite of everything and anything that you'd done in your past, He was willing to hear your prayer. He was willing to say, I forgive. He was willing to say, I choose you to be with me in all of eternity. And Lord, all I'm expecting of you is that you accomplish something eternal with the days that you have left on this earth. What a privilege. What a privilege. May every one of our days, John, be days of leaning upon the arms of Jesus. Your body's not as strong as what it used to be. It's not as vibrant. You can't count on it in the same way that you could. But I tell you this morning, you can still count on Jesus. You're just as strong today, I pray even stronger, than you were a year ago. Though the outward man may fail and get weak, the inner man can get strong and powerful. And your appointment still as fresh today as it was when He wrapped those arms around you and said, John, I want you to be mine. Because see, it doesn't have anything to do with the outward. It has everything to do with the inward. You know, some of you are getting up in years and maybe your body and mind are not as fresh and able as what they used to be. You're still under appointment by the one who loves you and wants to walk with you in a loyal relationship where there's no distance between the two of you. You're tight. Hear me? You're tight with Jesus. And you're realizing, He called me, He chose me, He appointed me to go and to bear eternal fruit. My challenge is to know what it is He wants me to do. And to not get so disillusioned to tell Him I can't, I won't. Because I'm out here doing other stuff. Lord, make me all completely whole and then I'll. He told Paul, he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what that means? That means that when you are weak and you accomplish something, He gets all the glory. Lord, I don't know if I can even stand. He says, come on, let's go do this together. I chose you. I appointed you. I love you. I've sent my Holy Spirit to give you ability beyond your own. Come on, let's go do this. Can you say one more thing with me? Just repeat after me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now hear me. That only happens when you're walking in loyal relationship with Him.